Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.
Today's message is entitled, When Loyalty Becomes Lethal.
Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
1 Samuel chapter 20, beginning at the 30th verse. And the scripture reads, Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, You are a son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Now, why you got to go there? Okay. Excuse me, but is that not your son too? I'm sorry, I just argue sometimes with the text. You son of a perverse, rebellious woman. Do not I know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother who bore you? For as long as the son of Jesse lives upon the earth, you shall not be established. I have some feedback up here. Nor shall your kingdom be established. So now send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said, Why should he be killed? What has he done? But Saul cast a spear at him to smite him, by which Jonathan knew that his father had determined to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and he ate no more food that second day of the month, for he grieved for David because his father had disgraced him. Go to 23 real quickly, if you will. 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to the wood to David at Horesh, and he strengthened his hand in God. He said to him, Fear not, the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. Saul, my father, knows that too. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David remained in the wood at Horesh, and Jonathan went to his house. 31, 1 Samuel 31, one verse. So Saul and his three sons, his armor bearer, and all of his men died that day together. So Saul and his three sons, of which Jonathan was one. But didn't Jonathan just say that he was going to stay committed to David? But now he's died with Saul. I want to talk today for just a few moments from the subject. I know you didn't expect it to come from this angle when we told you that today was about loyalty. But I want to talk for a few moments from the subject, when loyalty becomes lethal. Jonathan was the heir apparent to his father's throne. Come somebody and tell him he was next. He was next. And when he met David, when he met the man, this was a man whose very presence threatened his next level. When he met him, the man whose very presence threatened his next position, rather than hate him for that, he was happy for it. For real. I mean, for real, he was happy. And the genuine love that he had for David, it was so pure and it was so real that Saul, Jonathan's father, got mad at him. He said, Boy, have you lost your mind? What in the world is wrong with you? What do you mean hooking up with this man? Do you not understand that as long as he is in your life, your kingdom will never be established? And now here you are enabling and helping him. This is your stage, boy. The light is about to shine on you. And you are backing out and giving the light to somebody else. He has pulled his chair up to your spot. And you are okay with that. He is opening a present that has got your name out. You are so stupid that you are helping him do this to you. You are giving David, who in the world is David anyway? You are giving David a dynasty that belongs to you. He is so angry at his son that he picks up a javelin and threw it at his own son. You know what all that is? All of that is Saul trying to incite Jonathan to riot. You know, the scripture talks about watch out for people who incite you to riot. You know, people that sow seeds of discord, people that inject you with infectious thoughts. You ain't even unhappy. You are content. You're okay. But there's somebody in your life that runs up and tries to disrupt your peace and tries to confront you and tries to make you discontent. Girl, if I were you, I would tell him right now. I would just run in there and just give him a piece of my. And they sow all of these aggravating thoughts, aggravating accusations into your spirit. And when they do, you find yourself frustrated about things that just a little bit earlier you were very content to be in. But now you're mad, and you don't even know why you're mad. You're just mad. You know why? Because you let people sow stuff in the field of your life that you didn't have no business letting them sow. I can't believe you done been coming to the Potter's House North for a year, and they won't even let you lay hands on people when you are anointed. I know you're anointed. You were a pastor in the other church, and now you can't even pray for people. They won't even let you sing a solo. My God, something is wrong with that. I can't believe that them people are doing you like that. See, you got to watch out for people. They will throw you off. They'll throw you outside of your timing. They'll get you off sync. You got to plug a deaf ear to those kind of voices and say, you know what God has for me? It is for me, and in due time. Oh, I said in due time. You got to be careful who you allow to counsel you and who you allow to give you advice. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. I can't get all the way here and let you make me miss it because you want to incite me to riot. Saul is so upset. He's so upset that he's taking aim at his own son. He's targeting him. He's perplexing him. He's thrown an arrow at his own son. Whew. And I bet you, I can't help but think, I bet you the thing that hurt him more than the arrow coming his direction was the hands that threw it. You ain't been hurt until your daddy shoots at you. You ain't really been hurt until somebody that you love start shooting at your life. What is wrong with you, son? How can somebody like me, I'm the king, I'm the first king, how can somebody as strong as me have somebody as weak as you, as my son? That's how jacked up Saul's perception is. He thinks because David has character and because David has contentment in his heart and because he is kind-hearted, he's looking at all of those things as though they are weakness in his life. But in all actuality, Jonathan is putting, he's displaying a greater strength than Saul will ever be able to display his entire life. Jonathan is different. He is cut from a different cloth than his daddy is. He is totally unselfish. He is a different breed. He is not like Saul like that. One of the many good things that he has going for him is that he did not get Saul's nasty nature passed down to him through his DNA. He didn't get Saul's bitterness. He is a great man, but his biggest problem in life right here in the text today is he's just trying to figure out how to have a relationship with his dad and with David because he loves them both. Have you ever loved two people that you just couldn't get together? When he first met David, why he loves David, I don't know. Providence of God. When he first met David, David was messed up because he had been raised in a field. I mean, think about Jonathan. He's been raised in the palace. He knows what fork to eat with. He knows what spoon to eat with. He knows when to eat what. He knows how to sit there and behave himself. But then he meets this guy who has been raised out with sheep, which he's doing good if he knows to even pick up something with a fork. He's just been out there with the animals. He's a mess. He stinks. He don't know how to dress. He don't know what to wear. He don't know what in the world, how to act. He don't know when to bow. He don't know any of those things. David, all David knows is that he has a heart after God. So one thing Jonathan knows about David, though, is he's a true man of God. He's a true shepherd. He is somebody that has an anointing on his life. So immediately when he comes to his life, he can't help it. He immediately starts helping him. Man, you don't eat like that. Put that down. You ever had been around people that they know you're messing up, but they want you to mess up? So even though they could tell you, you're making a fool out of yourself. They don't tell you because they want to watch you blow it. Immediately, he was not like that. Immediately, he started helping him. He started equipping him. He started grooming him on how to act. He gave him clothes because David didn't have any clothes worth wearing. So he gave his clothes to him. This is the man that is going to take your place, Jonathan. But he turns around and dresses him for the next level in his life. He places his armor on him. He gives him weapons. He shows him how to act when he comes into the palace. Stand still right now, David. Bow right now. Smile right now. Just say hi right now. Don't be doing crazy stuff. Now that's crazy. Stop it right now. He just gave him all the instructions because somehow in his heart he knew that that job belonged to David, and he knew that he was somehow connected to David. And when he was helping David, it was really like he was actually helping himself, because his destiny was locked up inside of David. And he was like, if I can help you, then I will ultimately end up helping me. He was preparing David. He was pushing David. He was doing anything that he could to help David find his destiny, because he recognized there was an anointing on his life. He recognized that he had been touched by the Almighty God. And he felt like helping David was really helping God. Anything you do in the potter's house, north, south, east, or west, it is just like you are helping God. You're not just helping me. If your destiny is here, anything you do ultimately comes back to bless your life. And while he was helping David, while he was just trying to follow the leading that he felt in his heart, while he was helping David, while he was helping God, his own daddy took a shot at him. Have you ever been shot down while you're trying to help somebody up? Turn me up in the house a little bit. Have you ever been shot down while you're trying to help somebody up? I mean, for real, I have recently. Shot down, just trying to help somebody. His father is shooting him to the point that Jonathan says, whoa, did you shoot me? Was you shooting at me? What's up, Dad? Can we just talk for a minute? What's going on here? You're my dad. You have taught me everything that I know. We've laughed together. You taught me how to brush my teeth. We smiled together. You taught me what part to eat and what part not to eat. You've been my friend. When I fell asleep, you picked me up and you carried me to bed. You taught me how to stand up for myself. You showed me how to fight. You showed me how to be strong. You made me the leader that I am. You taught me, boy, you better get back in there. You showed me how to behave myself on the battlefield. We've laughed together and we've walked together. We've talked together. We've had target practice together. I've always viewed you as a protector. You are my hero. You are my daddy. You have always provided for me. You have been everything to me because you're my dad. ever change that. Nothing is going to change that. Because you're my dad. But I got to tell you, I'm confused right now. And I'm disillusioned right now. Because the shot that you just took at me right now has left me bewildered. I love you, sir. But I sure don't understand you. What do you do when you love somebody that you don't understand? What do you do when you love who they are, but you don't love what they do? Jonathan is wrestling with all of these kinds of things. He's got feelings now. He walks away with feelings that he never thought he was going to have with his dad. He walks away thinking thoughts that he never thought he was going to think. He walked out fighting emotions that he had never had to fight a day in his life. And every time he loves his dad, and every time he looks at him, he wants to hug him and he wants to embrace him. But while he's embracing him, he feels him sticking a knife in his back. And nothing leaves you more confused than when you're with somebody that you love, but you hate the way that they are acting. His loyalty to his dad is about to turn lethal. So he's stuck in the middle. Y'all help me today. Have you ever been stuck in the middle? Woo! I said his daddy represents his yesterday, but David represents his tomorrow. And so he's torn. He's torn between history and destiny. He's torn between tradition and revelation. He's torn between where God was and where God actually is. What is a man named Jonathan supposed to do? Should I drop my anchor right here and be content to stay right here in this tent? Or should I pick things up and move on to the next level in my life? He represents the call to all of us that comes from God, that says, get away from thy country, get away from thy kindred, come out of your place of contentment, come out of your place of comfort, in order that you might be who I have called you to be. He said, I love you, man. You're my dad, and I'm always love you. But there's something about David that I can't ignore. There's something about that man. There's something about his voice. When he talks, I hear God. I hear God. I hear purpose. I hear destiny. I hear hope. And I feel life. And I'm gonna be honest, Dad. I ain't felt life like this in many, many years. My soul is knit to him. Oh, his biggest dilemma is, how can I connect with my friend without disconnecting from my father? God brought him into my life. God joined us together, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Why, Daddy, are you trying to tear me apart from the one that God intended me to connect with? How in the world can you do that to me? And you know what? God is laboring with some of you. He's laboring to take you into a dimension that your flesh is wanting to keep you out of. He's laboring to take you into realms that your flesh and your carnal mind and your soul wants to manipulate you from embracing. You're trying to hold on to your past, and yet you're trying to reach forward at the same time. And what you got to do at that point is you've got to rise up and disconnect yourself from every soul-like spirit in your life, so that you will not find yourself left kicked to the curb, being cursed with a curse, because Saul's days were numbered. I said Saul's days were numbered. He had lost his anointing. He had lost his position. He had lost the palace. He had lost his purpose. And because Jonathan didn't have the real guts. He could talk the talk. But when it came time for him to make the decision, he couldn't leave his daddy. He couldn't disconnect himself from the one that he had spent his whole life with. So what happened to him? The good Jonathan. He died where his daddy died. He died on the level his daddy died on. He died like an absolute fool. And Gilboa, the enemy shot him dead. The sad thing about the whole scenario is that he died, but he didn't have to die. I don't believe that he had to die. I said, I don't believe that he had to die. He didn't die because he wasn't anointed. He didn't die because he wasn't chosen. He was all of those things. He died because he was more committed to his past than he was to his future. I'm going to say it again so y'all can hear me. I said he died and he didn't have to die. He fell short because he was more committed to his past than he was to his future. You can't be so committed to yesterday that you forfeit your tomorrow. He was more committed to religion than he was revelation. And when he came time, he made a decision that messed him up the rest of his life. He got to a turning point in his life, and he decided to stay where he was culturally comfortable. Woo! He decided to stay on the level that he was comfortable on, rather than allow him to be challenged or allow him to be stretched, rather than allow somebody to help him maximize his potential. He stayed right where he was, in the safe place. He made a destiny decision, and it cost him his life. Never underestimate the importance of your life's decisions, because sooner or later we will all find ourselves at a place of conflict, and it's that decision that we make right there that will cause us to live or cause us to die. Touch somebody and tell them, don't mess up your decisions. He got up away from the table. He ran. He started shooting arrows out into the field. You know what he was saying? David, stay out there, man, because my daddy's going to kill you. And I want to give you a heads up. David, I'm so sorry. I don't know why he's acting like this. It makes no sense. And if I could change it, David, I would. But I can't change it. It's not your fault, David. Don't for one minute think that it's your fault. The problem is, David, it's your season, and he doesn't know that. And he don't know how to let go. So don't come back, David, because he's going to kill you. This is dangerous here. I wish I could make it different, but David, I can't. I can't. So as much as I love you, I tell you to stay there. David bowed down to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other. This is the Life Application Bible. They embraced each other and they said goodbye, but it hurt David probably the worst. Bible says, at last, Jonathan said to David, go in peace. I've made a pact with you, and I've made it with you in the Lord's name. We have entrusted each other. We have entrusted each other's children to the hands of the Lord forever. So David got up and he left. Jonathan returned back to the house. Sad moment in Scripture. Sad moment. Because what he was saying is, man, I love you enough to protect you from him, but I don't love you enough to let him go. And they kissed each other goodbye. The line of loyalty had been crossed. It's one thing to be loyal, but it's another thing to be loyal to a fault. It's okay, you don't have to say anything, but it's one thing to be loyal to the fault. Because while he was standing there, Jonathan failed the test. He couldn't disconnect himself from his daddy's destructive ways and march on to his destiny. It's one thing to die, Saul, because you don't know who David is. But it's another thing, Jonathan, to die when you know exactly who he is, when you know there's an anointing on his life, when you know that your destiny is hooked up with him, and then you still allow yourself to stay connected to your yesterday. Jonathan knew that the dynasty belonged to David. He knew that David was a man of God. He knew that if he was going to go to the next level, he would have to go through David. But no, he knew the right thing. But knowing the right thing and doing the right thing are absolutely two different things. You'd be amazed to know how many people know the word, but they can't live the word. They know it inside out, but they can't live it. You would be amazed to know how many can quote it, but they can't live it. A lot of people love God enough to go to church. They love him enough to sing and shout. Some even love him enough to pay their tithes. But don't start talking to me about changing. Don't start talking to me about disconnecting from my old habits. That ain't hurting nobody. Don't start talking to me about telling me who can be in my life and who can't be in my life. Don't talk to me about detaching. See, they love him enough to embrace all that he has for them. But they don't love him enough to embrace who he is to them. And so their dilemma is they want to know, how can I get all of him and only give him a piece of me? Woo, y'all are quiet. So what did he do? Jonathan kissed David goodbye and he went back to a lesser level. He went out onto the battlefield with his daddy. It cost him his destiny, cost him his purpose, cost him his future, cost that boy his own life. Because if he would have stayed with David, if he would have stayed next to him like he said he was going to do, if he would have connected with the one that had his purpose and his destiny, he would have never been shot at by the enemy like he was shot, and he would have never have bled to death in the valley of Gilboa. That, my friend, is what happened in the text. That is the facts. I've just laid it out before you. But here is what should have happened. Had he broken his allegiance to a lesser order, had he broken his allegiance to Saul, and had he turned around and said, I love you, Daddy, and I'll take care of you all the days of my life, but right now you are wrong, and I've got to make a decision to connect with somebody that is right. If he would have done that, he would have spent the rest of his days living in the palace, enjoying all the benefits of the palace, and never having to have palace responsibilities. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord was upon David.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message,
When Loyalty Becomes Lethal,
visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.